the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
And we are here today to chat about some Star Trek stuff, as promised. But it's not the Star Trek stuff we mentioned before, so not slate, like, slightly not as promised.
It is not from the 90s.
Yes. So, before we get to that, it was a big Saturday in the household.
Yes, mostly for you, I feel.
Yeah. I went to a local comic show at a local mall. I have spent
hours,
like months, honestly, because I started cutting fabric and stuff for bags.
Oh, yeah.
But then the past couple weeks, a lot of assembly of the bags. I made 17 of these bags, and they look really cute. And I went there to sell that and True North, and I sold a couple of each.
Oh, good. And, but it was worth it. Like,
yeah. I paid for the table fee plus, so...
Yeah. They were super cute. People looked at them. A few people even flipped through them when I was relieving you, so you could walk around and get some DC stuff and go to the bathroom.
Yes, because it was 6 hours.
Yes.
I was in front of the Allstate branch, so in front of an insurance agency that was closed on Saturdays.
Yes.
I had Jake from State Farm right behind me.
You did. It was very strange.
Oh, yeah, no, Allstate, State Farm, whatever.
Like, I would catch a view from the corner of my eye and think that there was a person there.
Yeah.
But no, it was just a cardboard cutout.
Yeah. So, I think maybe next, because this local org is done for the year, I think I might do one of their brewery shows. I feel that's the better audience for bags, especially. Like, this show is really branded and marketed as a comic show. Like, you go there to dig through long boxes.
Although, your bags are the right size for comics to collect them and hold them and be able to walk around with them.
I know. So, I made a post on our Instagram. People may have seen it by now. I'll probably figure out something for Etsy.
Yeah.
And sell them there, because I don't want to just hang on to now 15 bags.
And you've got parts for more.
Yes. So, if some style is popular, I can make more.
Yeah.
So, and... like, I already have some Superman stuff ready to go, because I... and people are like, where did you get this fabric? And, like, other sewers were like, where do you get this fabric? And I was like, well, the X-Men stuff is, like, a custom design. So, shout out to Art of Lucas, who I purchased that license from.
Yeah.
So, I think those look really cute.
Yeah.
And random fabrics, especially when Joanne was going out of business, I was like, I can get a lot of geeky fabrics for cheap.
For way on sale from what they normally are.
Yeah, so there's that. But the flaps, I used upcycled bed sheets. Like, the Superman designs are an upcycled sheet from 1978.
Wow.
So...
that you just had?
No. I searched for them on eBay. Like, I find the right designs with, like, the right size and everything. Same with the Marvel stuff. That was a bed sheet.
Oh, gotcha.
So...
unexpected.
Yeah, but they're nice big designs on sheets typically that look really good as the flap that's showing the most.
Oh, okay.
So that's where those came from, and I have more waiting in the wings should I make more, I guess, if they prove popular and sell.
And
otherwise, I have some twin-sized geeky sheets that I can use.
I mean, you've got parts for more, so like, as you were saying before, like, the number of pieces of fabric, the math wasn't mathing.
It really didn't.
So, there's various steps that might just need, like, a little bit more cutting, and then a new bag can be assembled.
Yeah. And I made, like, a little notebook cover.
Yes.
Like, I was struck by inspiration. Like, I thought of it a couple weeks ago, and then on Thursday at 8:15 at night, I'm like, I can do this. I'm going to accept it as a challenge to get this done in the fastest amount of time. I only screwed up things once.
Okay.
I had to rip out one seam because I was sewing things upside down. So I just had to rip it out, and I wasn't even done with the full run of it. It was like 2 inches.
Oh, that's handy.
Yeah. So did that, and I actually used it yesterday at the show while there was some downtime. And wrote more ideas for a project I'm working on. So,
oh, good.
Yeah. And then I did... someone posted in the group that they were bringing a bunch of Bronze Age Superman or DC stuff for a dollar each. So I asked one of the admins of the con/Facebook group. Like, who is this? Who is this person? I don't know this person.
Who is she?
And it was right down the line. So I went there and picked up stuff. I read one last night. It is Superman 344, which
Oh.
is scripted by Paul Levitz, a story by Len Wein, Dracula and the Frankenstein monster together in immortal combat with Superman.
Oh.
It's ridiculous. There's a séance, there is Dracula, there is the Frankenstein's monster,
I mean, love a good seance.
and it's very bizarre. And then I immediately messaged Scott Free. And I was like, is this collected anywhere? And I thought that Paul Levitz did a lot. No, it's the only one he's ever written. He
Oh.
did like a fill-in between Len Wein and Jerry Conway being on the title.
I
And
see.
this is it. And Len Wein was probably like, Superman with monsters. And then he scripted it. So,
Gotcha.
like, Len Wein came up with the idea, he actually executed it. So, a bizarre little adventure. I love seeing Clark Kent come up with excuses like, can I leave this meeting? I'm feeling claustrophobic, which I might use in the future. I think you should read it, especially now that we are in spooky season.
Oh.
It's quick. It's Superman from 1979, cover dated February of 1980. It came out like around Halloween,
Oh,
hence
makes
why.
sense.
So I got a few other things like that. Scott was like, Paul Levitz really did good stuff with Legion, the Legion of Superheroes.
Oh,
But
okay.
I don't know if I'm a Legion girly. Like 31st century
Oh, way in the
and a
future?
teenage team, like I'm already in, like I don't know if I want to go that far afield without shoring up some of my just other DC fandom stuff. I need to read through the omnibus of Green Lantern, Green Arrow, the
Oh.
Hard Traveling Heroes omnibus.
Yeah.
So I have stuff to get through before I get to that point.
I feel like I found a bunch of those loose, the individual comics, that one super sale that Dreamer's Vault was having, and you were like, they're 25 cents each. Go get me all the things.
Maybe. I don't know.
But yeah, it was something with the two of them together, I feel.
Okay. And they've teamed up since then. Like, they're
Okay.
best friends.
Gotcha.
The Greens.
Yeah.
And this morning over coffee, got through 5 issues.
Okay.
So, read the new Superman from this past week with the pumpkin spicy cover of him chopping wood.
Yes.
And Nightwing.
Also the spicy cover.
Yes. With him with the pumpkin.
Yes.
And then a Green Arrow, Green Lantern, and Green Lantern Corps. So.
Was the pumpkin cover Nick Robles?
No, I did bother Nick though on Blue Sky this week because there's something where it's like retweet with your hot man art, and he posted a couple, and I was like, what about Catman? And please release a print of it so I can buy it
Yeah.
for real. I don't remember who did. Let's see if there's a name. It's a KW. I should probably know this. But at
Oh.
least DC gives credits for variant covers.
Oh, good.
Kevin Wada
Gotcha.
did the pumpkin spicy cover. And those are like the only two hot men ones. There are more hot lady ones
Ah.
for pumpkin spicy, but
For those who are into such
I
things.
guess. So
So
that's what I did this morning. You had a very big day yesterday because
I
Friday
cleaned.
we purchased, or we researched something.
Oh, Hades 2.
Yes, because
Yes.
you're like, it comes out soon. And I looked it up and I'm like,
It's out now.
it's out now and it's Switch exclusive for console,
Yeah.
which I have my Switch, but you're like, maybe I should get the Switch too.
Yeah, and the consoles I have, there aren't a whole lot of great co-op video games for us to do together.
Yeah.
So I am now a Switch owner.
You went to Costco
Yeah.
after you dropped off a snack for me at the show.
Yep. Got some salt for the water softener, got some sweet potatoes,
And got a Nintendo Switch.
and got a gaming console.
With and
So it's like
it
five
came.
items. It's continuing my trend of going to Costco for like single digit number of items when everyone else has like multiple carts.
Yeah. And it came with a game, a Mario Kart, that we can probably try out after this to see what it feels like.
I feel like I peaked with Double Dash.
Oh, is that GameCube?
It is.
Okay.
Like I became the master of the blue sparks.
We need to set up your GameCube and find a similar system like we found for my original Xbox.
With the wireless controller so the
Yes.
rabbits don't eat the
Yes.
Because the X-Men Legends games
Yeah.
are on that. That's what I
Yeah.
have them for.
So you peaked in like 2011.
Nope, 2005.
Okay.
And it's been downhill ever since. When
Yeah.
it's like you just need to steer by moving the controller back and forth.
That's
It's like
tough.
I can do subtle turns if there's a controller. I cannot do subtle turns if it's like
Yeah. I feel
tilting.
when we, I think it was during the pandemic when it was like, let's set up the Wii. Like, we haven't played any Wii games
That's true.
because I had it from college, and I think you just got pissed at all the motion controls because you're not as proficient at it. So you're like, I hate this.
I mean, I like the Mario Party games, except for the one where you have to sear the cube of meat on all six sides. That one drives me nuts.
That's not even a Wii. That's just Switch.
Or the Mario Party games that rely on
Yeah.
motion, I mean.
Okay.
Like, other ones I can do.
Yeah. You just did not like the Wii. Because I was like, how about Super Mario Galaxy? I think you'll really like this. It's space.
And that's the one with the stars?
Yes.
Is there
Which
a
now they
train
have a
one?
bundle on Switch
Oh.
if you want it. But
Yeah.
you were not pleased
But
with things.
it would be nice to have Mario Party or maybe some other
Yeah.
co-op friendly game to play together.
Yeah. And at least the Mario Party we like is a game card. Like, we can just pop it into yours if it takes the same size of game card
I don't know
for the
if.
Switch 2.
Otherwise, it was in the e-store.
For $60,
Oh.
let's check to make sure we can play the version we already own.
Oh, okay. It should be backwards compatible.
Yes. I hope it's the same size for that little tiny ass card.
Right. So, yeah, that and Bun Bun Chores while you were hawking your wares.
Yeah.
The garden is what it is.
Both gardens, like.
Not a great tomato year.
No, and I don't like the tomatoes at my place in the big garden got so big they did the splitting thing.
Oh, and then that
And.
started rotting along the cracks.
Yes, but they weren't ripe. Like, they got gigantic and green.
Oh.
So.
I mean, it's a
We.
purple tomato, so it's supposed to have green shoulders.
No, it was all green. Like, I
Oh.
would check, and they were straight up green tomatoes. So I think maybe we just go back to aroma or something.
Oh, Amish paste
Yeah.
from last year.
Yeah. Where it's just those rarely split.
That's true. They had the one, like, for the Baldur's Gate players out there, it was the shape of the unknown artifact. That sort of like polyhedron with regular sides.
Yeah.
And they worked out well and they were easy to can.
Yes, they were. Like, in terms of canning tomatoes, everyone listening who has not canned tomatoes before, which is probably most of
It's really easy.
yeah, they were really easy to like boil and get those skins, like they just slid off.
Yeah.
So,
But the purple tomatoes are so good for eating, so maybe I'll just do a few
yeah.
and see if we can get a bed.
Yeah, and cherry tomatoes.
I'm still fine passing on
Oh,
those.
we have to evaluate what worked and what didn't. I feel we had a lot that didn't work this year.
Yeah. Carrots
The
like
potato,
came through.
the mole, like we've been discussing mole strategies because the mole destroyed several beds. Like, it went through and destroyed the entire potato crop.
Yeah, and the parsley bed. For the buns. So
Yep.
at your place, it's been a lot of forage stuff from the yard and then the basil
Yeah.
blossoms.
And we have to start drying stuff next weekend.
Yeah.
Dehydrating.
We should probably make pesto too.
Yeah.
And we could probably do chimichurri down here. But the borage died. I granted I didn't really weed. But even so, even in the spring, all the seed I put down, I put so much seed into that bed
Yeah.
and nothing came up. I got two turnips, one beet. I think there's one scraggly little kale out there. But then also because I didn't weed, then the rosemary has been
Yeah.
stunted.
Yeah. So maybe next weekend or one of the weekends in October, I think we just need to go out there with like a pad of paper and write down our observations. You have a whole journal you haven't used for gardening.
It's
And we
true.
could be like, this worked this year, this didn't, this is why it didn't work, like mole, or
With the
did.
fact that we didn't weed for so long, like
Yeah.
it's really hard when we have like one weekend every 2 weeks.
I know.
Like
If that.
I need to come up during the week.
Yeah. Like, if there's even that amount of time.
Yeah.
Because.
I think with a little bit more TLC, some of the things that went kaput will not go kaput.
Yeah. The carrots were okay. I think
Yeah.
there's still some in the fridge, too, that
There
we can
are.
use next.
I didn't use all of them for a hash, but it is really fun making a hash with all the stuff that we grow ourselves
Yeah.
or that we get from the CSA.
Yeah. We have 4 weeks left of the CSA.
Yeah.
I think it wraps up end of October.
Okay.
And I looked at the. This is really getting in literal weeds. That they have a late season one for like a month, and I was like, do we not?
Oh, in addition to the regular one or
Yeah, it goes for
after?
another month.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so the Star Trek stuff we're going to talk about, unless you have anything else you wanted to get off your chest about this
No,
weekend,
we've made
this week.
supper. We watched AEW, which
Yeah.
feels like a more compelling wrestling show
Yes,
than.
WWE's content.
Yeah. And we were talking, like, I can't think of any AEW wrestlers that are, like, notably problematic in their political beliefs.
Yeah.
Like, that's nice.
Yes, it is. There are some
So.
questionable gimmicks, but you're gonna get that anywhere. The
Yeah.
frat house.
Yeah.
I hate that. But I haven't seen them on TV, so it's like they're doing house shows somewhere.
Yeah, because they're more Ring of Honor.
Oh, because they have that partnership.
Yep.
Yeah.
But Timeless Toni Storm has been amazing. I don't really like the Death Riders, but I like that Chris Statlander just like gave the double bird to Jon Moxley and
Yeah.
ran away,
And
but
they're.
also making sure that her friend Harley made it over the barricade to
Yes.
run away.
The dudes are hot. Like, they have Claudio Castagnoli,
Yeah.
who has always been attractive. Except. So, remember in the pandemic when I bought a bunch of those DVDs from. Was
Oh,
it High Spots, I think?
maybe with like his early years when he had hair.
Yes. But, and he was, like, balding. And he went bald early. Like, he's only in his early 40s. He has shaved his head forever.
Yeah.
Since we've been watching him way back in the WWE days.
I think early 2000s, I remember looking up pictures of hot wrestlers and he had hair in them.
Yes. But he started losing it in the mid-2000s, and it shows. Like, he looks great now.
Yeah.
Glad he started shaving his head.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then this week you have a late night Tuesday.
I don't.
You
It's a
don't.
bonus week for City
Oh, there are
Council.
so many bonus weeks this year, I feel, this calendar year. This is like the third?
Yeah, well, yeah, but the July one is usually scheduled to have the first one off.
Oh, because of the fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, that's good.
Yeah.
You can play more Hades because that's what
Yeah.
you're going to do all night tonight.
Oh, and I messed up my shoulder. That's newsworthy.
Oh, by.
I
Well,
was
you.
benching heavy and something popped. I'm like, oh, this is not great. But I could still do most things. It just ached a little bit. And
Yeah.
then I tripped over Clyde's house.
Yeah. The
And.
pan, not like a wall.
No, the lip of the door.
Yes.
And so my arms lurched forward and I didn't fall on my face. But the motion was so fast and so sudden, like I heard more ripping and popping. And I went to urgent care the next day, and they're like, "You do have mobility. It will probably get better." And so it has, like in the days since then, like each day was a marked improvement.
Yeah.
But I've got PT to do, and I haven't even taken that much acetaminophen anymore.
That's good.
I was sleeping with a hot pad on, which maybe don't sleep with a hot pad on, considering this is from like the 60s.
Yeah, and you don't want to, as someone obviously you know, that had a massive shoulder injury.
Oh,
At
yeah.
least I didn't need surgery, but like.
It's a lengthy
Yes,
recovery.
it's a lengthy recovery, and you don't want to baby it. That's the thing with PT, which you like, do what you need to, but like, just because it feels good to have heat on it for a couple hours doesn't mean you should.
Oh.
Like,
I mean,
it's okay.
I'll take the extra circulation, especially since that's one of the things that happens at the chiropractor too,
Yeah.
where it's like, you're super tense. We'll do ultrasound to get more blood flowing and more nutrients and
Yeah.
get things to relax.
But that's the thing, even last year with my knee. It's like, I say if you need to, but otherwise, like, keep working it just like they told you. Like,
Oh, yeah.
keep
No
it,
sling,
yeah,
like no
don't keep it
frozen
static,
shoulder.
yeah. So hopefully all you need is PT, because that's what all I really needed.
Yeah.
It was like 3 months of intense PT, I feel, for me.
Oh.
Like every week.
And these aren't terrible exercises. It's pretty easy to do.
No.
And it's nice that there's posts at the bottom of the basement stairs, so I
Yeah.
can just tie the stretchy band to it.
I had to like close it, like knot it and close it in a door.
Yeah.
So.
Which I'm glad I don't have to do that because I would probably mess it up somehow, and if I wasn't bracing it with my foot, it would probably slam into me.
Yeah. So.
So yeah, that's
Yeah.
where we're at.
All right. So let's talk about the recent history of Star Trek comics.
Okay.
IDW has had the license
For a while.
for I want to say like a decade and a half at this point.
Since the J.J. Abrams films.
Yes, because that was their main Star Trek line for years, was the JJ verse characters, like as
Yeah.
Chris Pine.
To boldly
And
go, I think, was the subtitle.
yes, because we've seen that you can find them in dollar bins everywhere. I Now that that movie series is everything but announced as dead,
Yeah.
no one really wants that Star Trek.
Yeah.
Although I do like 2009 Star Trek. I like that movie.
I like that in I saw it on Instagram, some the little clips from an interview where he's like, I used to not like Star Trek, and Jon Stewart was like, I stopped listening to anything you said after you said you didn't like Star Trek. But I'm like, oh no, does this is this become evident in the movie?
Yeah.
Where it's like more of an action movie than it is like the more philosophical Star Trek exploration of ourselves via in exploration of space.
Yeah. So they did that for a while. I just started reading. I got the trade paperbacks of volumes 1, 2, and 4 of year 5,
Oh.
which Lansing and Kelly plotted out all that and his different writers
The hive
under.
mind. I just started following them.
Yes. Which, I mean, Colin Kelly, you're cute. They plotted it out and it was really successful. I read the first volume in like one or two nights this past week,
Wow.
because I found volume 3. I couldn't find it. I just bought a like new copy off of Amazon from some seller.
Gotcha.
So I can read it all. It's really good. Like, and the art is on point. Like, it's Gordon Purcell level
Oh,
likenesses.
nice.
Yes. So it's the 5th year. Like, they're ending their 5-year mission. That's the concept.
So, in addition to picking up a few strange new worlds, it's also like, well, we've been out here for 5 years.
Yes,
What
and they're
next?
processing the emotions of like, we're not going to be together much anymore while they're encountering like the Tholians again.
Oh,
Yeah.
and their webs.
Yes. So it's really fun. Uhura had a great issue thrown into the first 6, so.
Oh, I need to look up the thing where Nichelle Nichols was like, the miniskirt was like
Yes.
our choice, and like it's not.
It was liberating.
It was liberating. It wasn't like men saying you need to look sexy.
Yes. So, really good. So I think that kicked off sort of IDW doing more retro stuff. Not just like, hey, we're going along with the JJ verse, but let's do other things.
Yeah.
And then I feel it was start and stop. I think way back in the day, they let John Byrne just do some bullshit.
Yeah, I've got a few of those like photo essay
Yeah.
issues where I think the text is new, but it's just like random stills that they can make a new story out of.
Yeah, from the original series. And he also did like a Dr. McCoy Frontier Doctor thing. I have a few issues of that.
There's a two-parter for the Hollow Crown, I think, dealing with Romulans.
Okay. And
It's still in
then,
my comic book bag to
I
read.
know. And then they got into like, let's do a one-off issue on the Ferengi and things
Oh,
like that.
the alien spotlights.
Yes, they did Alien Spotlights.
Those are fun.
And then I feel that they rolled right into the ongoing that happened for a few years, 3 years, 2 or 3 years that they just wrapped up late
Yeah.
last year.
If I'm, yes, I am really sad that that is ending. It had I want to, or that it did end, yes. It had 3 or 4 6-issue arcs, I want to say, and then an Omega issue.
So they had Star Trek, they had Defiant, and then they would do an annual crossover event between the two.
Yeah, like the Day of Blood stuff was bleh.
And that's where I stopped reading it, where I was like, no.
Because I hated what they did with Alexander. Like, when you have a character, they're like, this person deserves better.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted that for Alexander.
Yeah.
And, or in the Picard show, Icheb.
Yes.
Like, it would be great to have more than just a death scene.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
So, they went in big. Like, they did ongoings rather than these one-shots or the concepts where you get, like, different aliens per issue.
Yeah. And they had also done a 6-parter for 2 series. Or Strange New Worlds, now that show is up and popular.
Yep.
Which is great, because there's such long breaks between these super short seasons.
It's so
Again, good. Star Trek works best with bottles and bottle episodes and longer seasons than just 10.
And I think, looking at things on Reddit, like, people debate it quite often, like, the short season versus the long season. And it's because they're investing more money into each episode. They look at it... I think TV in general looks at things more like very long movies. Like, you're getting 10 episodes, but the production values are higher, which... Bullshit. Like,
You don't need...
While I was sewing in the past week, I started my rewatch of Desperate Housewives again in season 3, sort of where I left off, because I forgot where I left off on Hulu, but it's on Prime now. Mm. So, that, like, the production values, even for a simple ABC show, like, I don't even know how you categorize Desperate Housewives, a dramedy, I guess.
Yeah.
Production values pretty high. You have standing sets, you have things going on, and I understand they don't have a whole lot of special effects. Like, they would, like, once a year where something weird would happen, like someone would fall down some stairs and they needed to digitize what happened or something. But Star Trek, you don't need a whole lot of flashy CGI if you don't want it. Like, there are ways to tell stories with, like, the Gorn without having to show us a million Gorn ships.
Right. Or just do bottle character-driven episodes on the sets that already exist.
Yes. They're already built.
Like, there are bottle episodes of DS9 where there aren't really any ships involved, or there's, like, sure, a view screen, but it's not like you need a big space battle happening.
No.
So
it's... Or if you do, you can reference it. You can show something on a view screen.
Yeah.
Or do like they did on the 90s Star Trek shows, where you just have, like, we got hit and the set rocks a little bit and they flash lights.
Yeah.
Like, there are jokes about exploding consoles, but you sort of got what a battle entailed because of the consoles exploding in someone's face.
Yeah. I just want more character stuff. And a coworker had been watching TNG for the first time, mm-hmm. all the way through. And, like, there are a lot of fun bottle episodes, and because there was so much time given to it, you could have random, weird, holodeck, gone wrong episodes, mm-hmm. and character-focused ones that weren't just the main, more than just Picard.
Yes.
So.
So, back to comics, they did Strange New Worlds. Yeah. They did a shortened Lower Decks.
And the Lower Decks is now ongoing, too. Yes. So we're not, as we're talking about the new Trek, we are not doing Lower Decks.
We can do that once I catch up. Yeah. Yes. Which will be like the first year of Lower Decks at that point.
Yeah, the Ryan Norris stuff is hilarious. Highly recommend.
Yep. So now we are in a place, I don't know what's next. I hope IDW has like a showcase at New York Comic Con in a couple weeks.
Oh, where they...
To announce stuff. So we have miniseries right now, which is fine, because they're all so different, which is really cool.
Yeah, they're different time frames, different characters. So do you want to start us off with your favorites of the Treks?
Favorite. Oh, because I have 2 here in my pile, because we split them up.
Oh, but I mean Voyager as your favorite.
Oh, yes. So Star Trek Voyager Homecoming, and we won't go like in depth, like beat by beat, for each issue. We'll give you an overview, but we think you should read these. So
It's
we're not
true.
going to tell you everything. So we have the writers is a wife and wife team, Susan Bridges and Tilly Bridges. Our artist is Angel Hernandez. Our colorist is Charlie Kirchhoff, who's done coloring for Star Trek for years.
Yeah.
Letters and design by Neil Uyutaki, and group editors Heather Antos, who we missed
At
at
FlameCon.
FlameCon because I didn't know if she was there Sunday or not, because we totally
I brought
just.
stuff to get
I
autographed.
know. All right, so Voyager is back. They are back to Earth.
Like, this
This
is
is.
picking up right when the Borg sphere has exploded and they've sort of shot themselves out of it.
Yes, so they are going back towards Earth. And you
They.
think, and this is what draws you in, because you want to know what happens next.
Right.
And by them attaching it, like, to the last seconds of Voyager, goes seamlessly into this.
Yeah.
And it's Janeway reflecting on everything that happened from The Bride of Chaotica.
I love that that's a reference here.
Yes.
It gets its own little panel.
The doctor with that, he fell in love with that
Oh, the
alien.
Vidian woman
Yes.
with the holographic body, and then they put her back in the body.
The salamander children.
I love that that's in there, even though it's been ejected from
Yeah.
canon.
Not officially.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought that was a thing. Like, they officially said the salamander kids never happened.
No.
Oh.
It's in a TV series. Everything that happened in the TV series happened.
Wow.
Interestingly, comics are not Star Trek canon, which
Oh.
is different from Star Wars canon. Like,
That got erased for them
friend
to
of the show
restart.
Alex Segura is writing Star Wars. That's canon.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yes. So what Janeway's reflecting, and the crew is all like, "Oh yeah, we spent so much time together." And
What's going to happen to us? We're going to go
yes.
our separate ways.
Yep. And then Tuvok starts experiencing some weird stuff, and there's like a hand.
Some body horror happening.
Yes. And Admiral Paris meets his grandchild,
Yeah.
Maral.
Morale.
And so we're getting these wrap-up moments, aside from Tuvok, where you're like, okay, like they're bringing stuff to a conclusion. Where are you going with this story? And at that point, there are some strange readings.
Love some strange readings.
Yes, because the doctor is having some suspicions. And they're like, hey, is it possible like there are changelings?
Yeah, can we maybe get some extra scans?
Yeah, let's do some blood tests to make sure, because we hear while we were gone there is a changeling issue.
Yeah.
And then we get the ship yanked into fluidic space, and it's species 8472,
Species 8472,
which,
who are super powerful,
yes.
very scary.
But Voyager has helped them in the past, so I'm interested to see where they go.
I don't recall, like, I know that they had, like, they came back after the big doings around Scorpion, where they were impersonating people.
Yeah.
And they were dealt with somehow.
Yes.
So this picks up that thread from the TV show of like they made good on their threat
Yeah.
to impersonate and take over Starfleet.
Yeah. Then we get a ship's log where they talk about the design for stuff for the last starship, which we'll get to later this episode. Star Trek Online. Have you ever been drawn to it? Thought maybe I should be playing this? There are
No.
some people who are really big into it.
There's.
And they have seasons. They have seasons of this game. They're in like season 31
Oh,
or
wow.
something.
I follow some people on Blue Sky that do really fun OCs for Star Trek
Yeah.
Online and the different designs. Like,
Yeah.
someone has taken, like, oh no, why can't I think of her
Lower
name?
Decks?
The Vulcan in Lower Decks.
Oh, to.
I keep saying T'Pring, T'Pow,
I know.
Tallinn.
Tallinn.
So, like, they've done some great art for Tallinn with different outfits and different styles.
Yeah.
Like, away from the animated Lower Deck style, sort of like the animated series from the 70s.
Yeah.
And really cool art like that. But no, I haven't done Star Trek Online.
I have a Mac that we're recording this on. Like, it's not my 2008 Mac anymore because I upgraded. But still, Macs are not made for gaming. Like, my old Mac, if you get close enough, it smells like sweat because I used it as a laptop to, like, game. And the sweat, like, soaked into the plastic.
Ew.
It's real nasty. So, like, they get super hot. It sounds like it's going to take off into the stratosphere.
Oh, like my washing machine.
Yes. So, like, I would, but what I'm really excited for is the Voyager game they're going to release for Xbox.
Yeah, and you get to, like, rewrite history. There's a whole trailer release.
So here's the thing. And I don't know what they did. And I think I have a conspiracy theory. So there was this mobile game I played way back in the day called Trexels. And it is based in the original series. And it's like a cutaway of the ship. So, like, it is all the things. And you would, like, earn points to unlock, and then you would be like, okay, this room I am going to have as a medical bay or storage. And you'd slowly build out your ship. You would send your team on away missions and everything. And that is what this game looks like. And
I'm excited for it.
The thing, it was really fun. It was that sort of mobile game where it's like, to really succeed, you have to pay money.
Oh.
And I was like, I want to sink money into this.
Yeah.
Cut to me putting my clown makeup on as I, like, invest in in-game currency for Disney Dreamlight Valley now. So I can buy a cute owl in a witch outfit as a companion. but I loved the mechanic of that. And it Trexels, so it was a little pixelated.
Yeah.
This looks so upgraded. And
it looks beautiful.
And it looks like the same thing where you get to, like, sort of build the ship out.
Yeah, you get to choose rooms and things. I am very excited for that. I love that type of gaming of, like, what structures and where.
And you send away teams. You get to pick who's on it, and it looks like Kes is in the game.
Yeah.
And Neelix, which he's the cultural ambassador, so he'll serve a purpose other than cooking.
I hope so.
But then the in-game thing where it's like, Tuvix, do you separate Tuvix, or do you keep Tuvix together? And do you kill all the Borg? And, like, it looks like so much fun. Earlier this week, did I send you the updated gameplay trailer? I think you did.
And then I watched it.
It's like 2 minutes where it's like, I'm so hyped for this.
Yeah.
And I just hope it's not a Starfield situation.
It doesn't look like it.
Because, like, you sort of know what you're getting into with that sort of game.
And they're maybe a little bit like Birth of the Federation. It looks like there were all sorts of different screens to go into. Mm-hmm. Like, for Birth of the Federation, you had Galaxy View, Planet, your science or intelligence allocations, your minor race diplomacy, and something else.
We still need to figure out how to, like,
port
it to a laptop.
But within those, you had all sorts of different options. Like, you could choose which minor race to go to. Mm. With each one, you had, like, a non-aggression treaty, friendship, affiliation, membership, or declare war.
Mm.
And even with the big powers, you had most of those things. You could even, like, demand things from them or gift them. So it was super annoying because, like, they would demand absurd amounts of currency.
Oh, yeah.
And then you'd say, no, I can't afford that.
And then they get pissed.
And then declare war. Like, I just made a colony near you and put an outpost on it to claim all of that space.
Mm-hmm.
So sure, I'll give you a little bit of money. Or, like, yeah, I don't need that sector. I'll cede it to you.
Yeah.
But then, no. I'm not going to give you 10,000 credits when I've only got 2.
Yeah.
And I'm saving it to build some starships.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
Anyway.
But it said wish list, and I went on the Xbox store. It's not listed there. I don't think there's a wish list for the Xbox store.
I don't think there is either.
So, they haven't given a release date. It looks like it's, like, I don't know if all the gameplay graphics are done or not, but that trailer looked pretty damn perfect.
Yeah.
So, I'm really hopeful it comes out. It'd be great as a winter game. Like,
Yeah, well,
can you imagine it coming out in like December?
that would be nice.
And then us just investing all of our weeknights.
When it's too cold, there's no garden stuff to do.
Yeah.
When, like,
I don't have to sew 17 bags.
you just rush out, do the bun bun chores, empty those boxes, and
Yeah.
then run back inside.
There's no lawn to mow. Not that I've been doing that this summer.
It's true.
It's getting picked up on Tuesday to get fixed.
Thank
Anyway,
goodness.
what series do you want to talk about next?
Star Trek Strange New Worlds, The Seeds of Salvation.
So what second issue I think comes out
It's gotta be soon.
next week, maybe?
Because we had both forgotten that this comic existed.
Yes, because it came out a while ago.
Yeah.
So again, leading into a current show that is popular, we have one full season and then the truncated final season to go. So we have like
Yeah.
two more, which it's going to come out within like 5 years.
Yeah, so this is their third with the Illyrian Enigma and then the Scorpius run. And now this. Robbie Thompson writing, Travis Mercer doing art, colors by J.P. Jordan, and we
Letters.
letters by Jody Trautman.
All right, and Heather Antos heading up this whole group and editing it.
Yeah, so it's the Strange New Worlds crew. We've got Ortega, Spock, Chapel, and Number One on this planet. It's their fourth Dust Bowl in a row. Spock keeps trying to say, but we did find some multicellular, and they're like talking right over him.
Yeah.
And there's this whole dichotomy of Chapel being like, I'm bored. And Number One being like, this is what Starfleet is. Like, it's not always glamorous missions. Like,
Yeah.
we're exploring new worlds. There's not always going to be something on them.
Yeah.
So we get this tension between them.
And is boredom bad in a Star Trek once in a while?
No, I don't think so. So then Chapel's like, oh, am I dangerous? Am I here for the adrenaline rush? And Number One is like, am I boring?
No.
So they get a distress call from one of Chapel's friends and they go investigate the planet. It's a very icy planet. I believe that would be a Class P planet.
Oh, okay.
And so after a little interaction with Pelia, it's Number One and Chapel in a turbo lift where they both ask each other at the same time, do you really think I'm dangerous? Do you really think I'm boring? Oh no, there's an alert to go to the bridge. So they go, there's no response from the facility. They beam down, and there's some glowy eyes. Other than that, totally abandoned. Also appreciating the art treating Ethan Peck well.
Yes.
Like, he's
He's
hunky
looked.
in person, hunky in comic form.
Yeah.
Even though he keeps trying to say that they did find a unique multicellular fungus, but cannot make it all the way through without someone yelling at him. So they find the robot. It explains that people went out to explore this signal. They haven't come back yet. There's a submersible, but the one that was taken out is probably running out of air, and there's been no contact. So they're like, well, this is our best chance to save some lives. And Chapel's like, I'm sort of regretting looking for excitement. And Una's like, well, I'm glad you did. We have a chance to recover valuable research and, more importantly, save lives. And there's some tentacle action happening.
So we got cliffhanger.
Yeah, so art is good. I like it. It's a different style than the others. I think almost all of these have a very particular art style,
Yeah.
which works.
Yeah, they all have a defined visual identity.
Yeah, like this one is a little bit more like Lower Decks-y animated style. And as we'll find out in Red Shirts, that one is very different.
Yes.
So I thought it was a good setup. Like the first issue has to get you intrigued enough to pick up the next one. And people's lives are at risk. They're on an icy planet. They're diving into the unknown. So it did a good job.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. I'm looking at what's coming out the day this episode is released, and it's not Strange New Worlds.
It's not?
No,
It's Red Shirts?
it is.
Oh.
So,
Red Shirts number 3. We've got 2 issues to talk about.
yeah. All right, so the most recent issue that came out was this past Wednesday, and it is The Last Starship, and I feel they've been promoting this one a lot.
They have.
Like, did they do like a trailer for it on social media? I know that they put it in like the backup
Maybe.
of all these issues is like The Last Starship is coming.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's because of Kirk. Is it because of, like, they're just so excited for the storyline of it all?
Yeah, I don't know.
And it's a little unclear, but it's nice. I might have splurged and gotten a foil cover.
I know, it's very pretty.
It is. And the design on it, the art is good. Like, it's very TOS movie poster
Yeah.
style.
So it's Jackson Lansing and Colin Kelly
The
writing
Hive
it.
Mind.
Yes. Adrian Bonilla is the artist. Heather Moore is our colorist. Clayton Cowles is our letterer, which Clayton Cowles gets awards all the time for his
Oh,
lettering.
nice.
Yes. So
This is
this
way in the future.
it's in a very unexplored period because we had, for those of you who didn't watch Star Trek Discovery, they jumped like 800 years in the future or
Yep.
something. So, and at that time, the Federation was just rebuilding because of something called the Burn, because dilithium became unstable instantaneously everywhere in the galaxy.
All at once. So
Yep.
anytime there was an active dilithium core in a warp or dilithium chamber in a warp
Anywhere.
core
Or a research facility.
or outpost,
Yes.
it breached
Yep.
catastrophically.
Yeah, so like trillions of people died.
Yeah, you get that. And I was reading this at night, and I'm like,
You texted me because you had read
The
Invisible
Invisible
Man,
Man.
which is very dark in terms of horror.
Yeah.
And you were like, by the time, well, reading to the end of this issue make me sad. And I was like, no, it won't.
But I still couldn't do Beneath the Trees, issue
Yeah.
three.
Yeah.
I have not read that one yet.
So we're sort of plopped in the middle of when the burn happens
Yeah,
on a particular ship.
moments before.
And they're in active discussions with the Gorn, and they're like, the last like battle in space that we had was 100 years ago between us and you. Can you just like join us?
Everyone else has joined the
Yeah.
Federation.
Like,
Like,
come on.
we're living in peace. It's post-scarcity. Like,
Yep.
there's even you have evolved past some of your more violent tendencies.
Yeah. But then everything explodes. The engineer is able to get like four of them.
Yeah, they're at warp, so they
Yeah.
can't abandon ship. I think it's the engineer is a Tholian. Like,
Yes.
the little insectoid shape
Yep.
and
The
it
webs.
the webs, it seems very hot in there.
Yes.
But they are able, the order was to put the four youngest crew members
Yes.
into a transporter buffer and shoot them out in a torpedo.
Yep. And the engineer put the bridge crew. Like.
Yeah. So there's an Andorian captain,
Yep.
there's a human commander, first officer, there's a Bajoran and a Klingon. I think they're both lieutenants. Like, one is at the helm, one is security slash weapons.
Yes. So then, 3 days later, on Earth, the Starfleet, I guess, not the Federation, but the
Starfleet
Starfleet
Command, yeah.
is trying to figure out like, where do we go? And they convene a meeting.
It's the assemblage of captains, the
Yes.
captaincy.
And they're like, can we start? Like, we don't have quorum. And they were like, no, this is all of you that remain.
Yeah, they were like, oh, or one of the captains like, oh, what are we looking at? Like, in terms of losses to the fleet, 10%, 20%, and the sort of Vulcan leading the meeting is like 96%.
Yeah.
Like, that is devastating.
Yes.
And like, you think you don't have a quorum, but actually you are all the captains that remain
Yeah.
in the entire Federation.
Yep. And they're like, okay, well, we can't travel at warp because dilithium, it could go at any time again.
Right, they don't know if it's going to happen again. Is
Yep.
it still unstable? Will the burn happen? Like, will there be aftershocks
Yeah.
almost?
And they're like, what about transwarp? And they're like,
That's
oh.
the Borg. The Borg have been extinct for 500
Yeah.
years at this
And
point.
then the Borg Queen shows up, and it's actually from.
Picard.
Yeah, it's
Like,
Alice.
it's the Picard tie-in that we weren't
Alice, right? Is
expecting.
that her name? Alice?
Agnes.
Agnes.
Because she's like, call me Agnes.
Yes, and that's right.
She, instead of a collective, she is the Borg queen of the cooperative.
Mm.
So at the end of Picard season 2, when Agnes is assimilated by a very weakened Borg queen,
mm-hmm.
She and the Borg queen sort of come to this arrangement of, like, you need me.
But what you do is bad.
But, yeah, but you can't just run around assimilating stuff that you want. What if we create a new type of Borg that, instead of based on domination, is based on cooperation? So they sort of, like, pick up those who are dying, those who are, like, at the end of their life cycles, and offer them something new, something mm-hmm. more, like a chance to continue on through the Borg rather than just ending in assimilation.
So we sort of go through an 80s montage here where they are patching a ship together with transwarp technology.
Right. But Agnes did have a deal. She's like, I want this sample from Daystrom Station, which has been decommissioned and mothballed.
For hundreds of years, because they're like, this is trash. But they left everything there, which seems unwise.
Like, we don't need it, so we'll just mothball it. It's in space, so it's not like anything's going to decompose.
Nothing will ever come here unauthorized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we get that montage of, like, this is an 800-year-old hull. The saucer section or the nacelles came from these other places. Mm-hmm. But I do want to point out that Captain Delacorte Sato, they've kept the Sato name.
Yeah.
Ever since before the founding of the Federation.
Mm, yeah.
Because Hoshi Sato from Enterprise was so integral.
Yeah.
No one else has lived up to usurp that last name per Andorian tradition. They had a really great moment in the chambers of the other captains of, like, we're not giving up. Starfleet has always solved problems through ingenuity, through cooperation. Like, we still believe in the ideals.
Yeah.
These are those ideals, and we will continue to live up to them.
Yes. Also, there's, like, one outpost that didn't explode that they have working on stuff.
Yeah, because it was so aged,
basically.
Like, it's the Starbase 80,
mm-hmm.
if you get the Lower Decks reference.
So they build the USS Omega with these green warp nacelles.
Yep.
And they're ready to go, but then we see some of the struggles that people are going through, knowing that, like, everyone that they served with is dead.
Yeah, because it was sort of glazed over at the top. Throughout, I feel, most of the Star Trek series that you watch, people will reference their friends in the Academy.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's DS9 during the Dominion War of, like, people being overwhelmed with a casualty list, or I knew that person from the Academy, we were roommates. I feel like that happened in Voyager a few times. TNG for sure.
Yeah.
Picard with the captains that he met in the maybe not well received end of season 1 with the little brain bugs.
Mm.
He knew those captains really well. Yeah. Like, these are your peers, your teammates. You went to class with these folks. For everyone to just go kaput, like, there's a lot of emotional weight
mm-hmm.
that they're alluding to here. So.
And then we cut to Agnes on Daystrom. She goes and gets a sample, a biological sample of someone.
Off of a comm badge.
And she's like, okay, well, we are...
We need this person in this moment.
Yep.
And it can't be a clone. It can't be this other way of resurrecting someone. And she, I guess, has everything all mapped out. And creates a body out of nanites.
And it's a naked James T. Kirk.
It is.
And we sort of leave that for the issue. We don't know where it's going.
But we got some Klingons.
Yeah. Because the Klingons are like, we're going to kill the Federation. And you know who hates Klingons? Captain Kirk.
I love this issue. I liked a lot about it. I liked that the Klingon lieutenant was like, my ancestors believed in Stovokor, but mm-hmm. this new path that we're on, like, there's been some sort of cultural revolution within the Klingon Empire that's gotten them past some of the stodgy bits,
mm-hmm.
and now this person is like, no, we need to go back to our stodgy bits, the mm-hmm. stodgiest of them all. And I don't like Klingons.
I know. So it's our reactionary. Then we get a cover gallery.
Yeah, everything looks fun and good.
Yeah. And some of these, what I was surprised by, because then you flip to the end, and the one I really liked was a GalaxyCon exclusive cover.
Oh.
Then there is Pop Culture Canada exclusive cover, a New York Comic Con exclusive cover. I got the local comic store day cover
Oh.
for mine.
Oh. Did they get rid of the Andorian antenna?
Yes.
Oh. I mean, he's blue and he
I think
does.
he's part, he has pointy ears.
Oh, so
So I
part
think,
Andorian, part Vulcan?
or Romulan, one of the
Oh.
two. So,
Oh, that's right. There's been a lot of intermarriage.
yeah.
So.
So that's issue one. It was like a supersized issue, I feel.
Yeah. What you need for something like.
Yeah, it's really world building because that timeline hasn't really been explored.
Right. Disco short seasons.
Yep.
We didn't get detail about much anything else outside of Michael Burnham in the last few seasons of
And it
that
was like the
show.
burn happened and we're moving past it. Like, it
Right.
was much more about forward progression, not what happened? Tell me all about the burn for three episodes, sort of thing.
Yeah. Because they didn't have the episodes to womp womp burn.
Yes. So, the last series we are reviewing for this episode, we have Red Shirts, and we have two issues for Red Shirts so far.
Yeah.
So, the writer on this is Chris Cantwell
Who
and
did
Defiant.
Defiant? Yep. I really appreciate that there's a cast list at the beginning of each of these.
Yes.
And
Especially the first one. I spent so much time reading these little character bios.
yeah, it's the name, like species, gender, age, and a little blurb about them.
Like their service record, sort of thing.
Cromartie, or Lieutenant Webster Cromartie, human male, 46, longest serving security officer in Starfleet, Klingon War veteran, descendant of Maine lumberjacks, Field Ribbons 4, Star Cross decoration, survivalist, loner.
So it's like that for all of them, and it's like a dozen
Yeah.
characters that we have.
Ensign Chip Miller is sort of your POV character, human male, 23, 6 months graduate from Starfleet Academy, suffered serious injuries on first and only field mission. Specializes in subspace communications, ranked unsatisfactory in combat skills by Starfleet. Peanut allergy.
Yeah.
But we get a bunch of folks, a Vulcan male, 31, rejected from Vulcan Science Academy, Bolian female, Beta Zed non-binary, Arconian, who, yeah.
All
So
right, so
we
let's
get
give
a
the credits.
Writer, Christopher Cantwell, artist, Megan Levins, colorist, Charlie Kirchhoff, letterer, Jody Troutman, group editor, Heather Antos, design and production, Neil Uatake. So
The first page after that is.
a full page of a Mugatu slashing the face of Chip Miller.
Yep.
Like his. It's
Yeah,
gory.
it is.
I
And
was not prepared for the level of gore in
I
this.
was because they said, like, straight off the bat, we have gore in this book. Like, in some Blue Sky thing that one of them posted.
Yeah, like his eye socket is exposed, his eye's
Yeah.
about to pop out.
Yep.
And we get sort of a cool, or not cool, we get a description of what it means to be Starfleet security by someone
Yeah.
in Starfleet security. And it's really sort of neat where, like, sort of praising the importance of it. It's not just a throwaway role, even though, like, in this panel, there are all these ways of dying.
Yeah,
Like,
and it's something that we never really got in the original series. The joke has been red shirts, even though like people have then, because we're Star Trek nerds, gone in and disproven that,
gold
like,
shirts have the highest.
yeah, but like that's the ongoing joke that everyone knows is red shirts die, and they were always such minor characters in TOS, and that's how they got the reputation because it was like one-off characters that would come in for one episode. They die, or it's like you're never gonna see that face again because
He's
it's a,
dead, Jim.
or it's a big ship. So it's like, oh, in my imagination, that lieutenant didn't die on this mission, but they're just somewhere else.
So, he's called Lucky. He's in med bay after getting his face repaired. So, prosthetic eye, scars across his eye. And they're like, "You're lucky." And he's like, "Tough and lucky." But real luck would have been landing a different assignment. Security is the first, as someone is phasered in that panel. Security is the first line of defense in Starfleet. Someone's head being crushed by a robot. Yes, we all have a shelf life, someone falling off a cliff. But security officers protect those most in need of it, as well as those who would do the same for us. Someone getting their skull bashed in. And that is our job, that is our duty, as his portrait is in the middle. And that's what it says in the dang handbook, at least, as someone is evaporated in green mist.
So it's a 9-panel grid on a page.
Yeah. There's someone like falling into weird space, someone incinerated, someone eaten by a giant ant.
And then we start getting into what the mission is going to be for these red shirts.
Yeah, there's planet Arconia. There is a great big satellite dish, and there's a mission to figure out who is hacking into Starfleet databases and stealing data.
Yes.
So, like, we're gonna draw them out. We're gonna put some tasty morsels of intelligence on this planet, and then we're going to sort of lay a trap and figure out who these people are, these bad actors who are plotting against the Federation. So this is Cromartie's home base. He has been on this planet for years.
And he's been there alone for several months.
Yes, he's eating bugs. He's like, you'll supplement my food cubes. And we get the USS Warren's security officer being like, this is our mission. Here's the plan. He doesn't really like it.
But they're friends from back in the day.
Yes.
So they're able to have like good real talk about everything before she goes back up to prep her crew.
Yep. So we get all these different red shirts loitering about, and trying to figure out what our mission is going to be, how are we going to do it, and they don't want transporter signals going down. They're trying to get people.
So they choose something truly insane to avoid detection.
I mean, similar to the last Starship, they're putting all these red shirts in torpedo tubes,
Yep, they're like, you'll be fine
and then
firing them.
Cromartie from the base will transport them out before they impact the Earth
Yes.
or the planet
Yeah.
Arconia. So down they go, and except this outpost is so old that they can only beam six people out at once. So,
Because that's how many are on a pad.
right. So the first six go, and then they lose power. Like some big
Yeah.
scary alien thing has severed a power conduit.
It didn't mean any harm.
So there's two left.
Yep.
One just straight up crashes into a cliff, and the other one deflects and sort of bounces. But then he lands right in the firing area of the actual torpedoes. So, sort of part of the bait is they put this tasty data down there. The USS Warren fires at the satellite dish and then flies away. And they wait to see who's going to come and pick up the pieces and get the new Starship schematics. So,
So we have two down.
two down. Most. I guess two waves of six people have made it. And yeah, why are you being so callous? This is terrible.
So it's a really good reflection on the nature of being security. Even after these deaths, it's more the veterans being like, shit happens.
Yeah.
Like, we did the best that we could.
And the Arconian is pissed. Like, you failed to transport them to safety, you unshowered, curmudgeonly bastard. And they sort of like try to pick up the pieces and figure out how to move forward with the mission. Like, they have to get the mission done. And we find out that it's Romulans. Even before they show the decloaked ship, you could tell because of the little sidebars on the text dialogue is that Romulan triangle pattern from TOS. So that's fun. And in issue two,
So, as you open up now.
yes, the of all the faces for the cast of characters, there's the red X's for the ones who have already met their end. And so,
And they're very clear, like the creators, like there's a high body count in this book.
yes. And number two specifically. So we get more of the dialogue between Cromartie and his the other lieutenant from the Warren. We get the Arconian and I think she's from Lebanon, and one of the other security people who excels at hand-to-hand combat and holds a record, but also didn't really want to be security. I think she wanted stellar cartography instead. There's a Vulcan who's surprisingly bitter. And again, we get this narration from Chip Miller of like, on my very first mission, we'd come to Neural to receive a botanical sample. Everything was a bust. Plants were too close to a Mikado mating nest. We were overwhelmed. There were only four of us. Both science officers died quickly. My commanding officer had his head torn off. I was left behind. Assumed dead because, like Boric said, that's what red shirts are at best. So they're coming up with a new plan. They're trying to figure out who these people are. There are four spies that have been beamed down to the planet. So now they have to track them down, figure it out. And so they're going out, phase pistols, and Johnny Boy, the gigantic ant thing, is there. Like, grabs one of the spies, rips him in half. So one spy down.
Which this was probably the ant creature in that nine panel.
It might have been. Cromartie gets half of his face phasered off by a Romulan sniper.
It's real grisly looking.
Like, the skin is going off, there's melting flesh. He sizzles on the way down, right in front of Miller. And the people at the outpost base are trying to figure out, like, what's happening? Where's Cromartie? What's happening with their life signs? The bullying assistant's there. The Beta Zed is there, being like, I think we've lost them. The Arconian is like, great, this creature and I, like, we're prey creatures for each other. Like, with one bite, I can kill it. So he goes to bite it and gets his jaw ripped off and neck snapped right in front of the team. And then they rush back into the outpost base, and the Vulcan gets stabby stabbed
Through the chest
through
with
the
a
chest.
giant, like it is a giant claw.
There's no coming back from that.
No.
So, body count very high. They are trying to figure out what to do. Everything is going wrong on this mission. The spies are still out there. They're still trying to get the data that's stored at the base of the dish. But one of them comes up with a plan of using the transporter booster and inverting it so that no one can beam in the area. So there's a near miss with a giant ant creature, and that's the plan. We have Lieutenant Demetrio from the Warren, who's now the ranking officer. It was her plan to begin with. And she's like, stop bitching, we need to finish the mission. Like, we can bitch about command later over some blankety blank Boilermakers when we're back aboard the Warren. Right now, you three, gear up. I want those spies and I want that disc. Don't let them reach transporter signal range. Move on the double. And they're like, well, what about the big ant creature? She throws a duffel with photon grenades, and she's like, twist, boom. Shove one down Johnny Boy's throat, tell him it's a gift from Webster Cromartie, and kid, be somewhere else for the boom. Like, it is harsh. So they find the spies crawling up the base of the dish to try and get the data. Everyone misses, because of course. Chip Miller is like, they're too high for a clear shot, low visibility, and he's like, we climb. And on the Romulan ship, there's a shadowy figure behind the commander. I'm guessing Tal Shiar, as you do. Who's like, my don't destroy my operatives, but then they still fire on the dish. And Miller is grasping Ensign Zaina Rad's hand as they're clinging to the side, and that's the literal cliffhanger that we're left with. It's good. It draws you in. The art is really good. It's, again, very different style, but it gives you that TOS feel, I feel, from the animation style. I don't know. I think That one and The Last Starship are the most compelling
Okay.
for me.
Yeah.
I mean, Into Voyager,
Yeah.
species 8472.
I think there is a different way to be invested in each of them.
Yeah.
And like I mentioned earlier, it's such vastly different types of stories that you have going on.
Yeah.
Like, what Red Shirts is a horror comic, basically.
But it's a different perspective on what has long been seen as throwaway characters. Like
Yes.
that, I think what the Hive Mind did with that first person narration, with those nine panels of all the security people dying, was setting up the importance of security, that this is their job. They put their lives on the line for everyone else, and it's actually, that means something. It's not just there for a throwaway purpose.
Yeah, the last starship is how do they survive? Like, it's a different type of survival.
Because we know the Federation basically crumbles
Yep.
in the aftermath of the burn, so how are they saving what they can?
The Strange New World Seeds of Salvation is really a mission that,
Yeah.
and you want to see how some of your favorite characters are going to be utilized on that mission.
Yeah, what depth and development can they
Yeah,
get?
it's the only one that's really tying into what's on the TV right now. So
Right.
it's more constrained. You have to tell a bottle episode, basically, with it.
In a way
Which
that's not going to mess up characters when season four premieres.
they IDW knows how to do.
Yep.
They've done it before with Strange New Worlds. And Voyager is how do we get them back home? We thought they were back home, but they're not back home.
Yeah. And
So we're heading towards a conclusion. We know that they get there.
it's that further examination of we made it home, but what all does that entail? Like,
Yes.
what is the impact on the people?
Yep.
Like, they finally got their goal that they were working towards for 7 years, and without that thing that you're reaching for, what do you do? So.
Yeah. Oh, they're all compelling in a different way. I think that, much like I've said about X comics before, you find one that resonates with you
Yeah.
and works for you. I'm reading all of them, so are you.
Yeah.
And
Not mad that, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago when I'm like, Star Trek comics on my
yeah.
pull list, and now every time there's a new one, they just add it to my list.
Yeah. So I think they're worth checking out. If you have questions about them, feel free to reach out to us. We would love to chat Trek with people.
Yes, always.
And go like they're all starting. That's why we did this episode because they're all launching and they're all short series too. So you can dip your toe into something and it's not a huge commitment like an ongoing series.
Right.
So get out there and read some Star Trek that's going on. And the only way that we get these is if people read them and buy them.
Yeah. And I will say, for considering the what feels like the end times right now, like having a Star Trek future of, yeah, humanity got its poop in a group and had does all these cool things because we embrace these values of cooperation, diversity. What can we collectively do to end these long-standing problems of poverty and illness and all these things? Like, it's that hopeful future that is nice to look towards.
Yes, I agree. And
So.
for me, it's like a warm, comfy blanket, being able to read a new Star Trek story.
Yeah.
And that's why I've been reading lots of Star Trek comics, period. Be it the Year Five stuff, the DC stuff.
Yeah.
It's just comforting to know that it's there. And the great thing about, Star Trek being in its 59th year right now,
Ugh.
or actually it's 60th because the 59th anniversary just happened. So there is so much out there in terms of comics, novels. You can always go back to the TV shows.
The movies.
Yeah, there's just so much out there that you can feast almost endlessly on Star Trek stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's it. I will do an episode. I should probably read Lower Decks so we can do a Lower Decks episode.
Yeah, there's enough, I think, content that can
Yeah.
be a whole episode of its own.
Absolutely. So thanks for tuning in, everyone. Again, reach out. We would love to chat Trek and go out there, support some ongoing comics.
Take care, be well.
Bye.